Goodness. Sweet Spirit. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Man, God is so good. You know, I was thinking about Tyndall family losing Betty. Betty was really close to Connie and I, real close to Connie, like a mother, like a sister. On phone all the time, back and forth. But there was a lady that stood on the Word. Every circumstance, every situation that I seen her go through, it was always the Word. Always. It was never, I never heard a negative word out of her. Always. In the midst of, you know, things that go on in life, she always went back to the, not her opinion, not her thoughts, not what they should have done. It was always, but the word says. And that's the way she lived. And she lost her husband. It was a tragedy, but yet she was carried through by the word because the word said. And then afterwards, some even said, well, she didn't even care. No, she trusted the word, and she stood strong, and she marched on. And then to go out, man, what a way to go out. Lord, take me that way. And I've even said, here, I'm going to go out preaching. So if you ever see me go clunk, don't even revive me. Just let me go. All is good. I mean, you can't count the number of people that went out like she went out. I mean, danced right into the arms of Jesus. Whoo! And it was that quick. There is no time and space in her, folks. It's just you're there. Yeah, somebody just picked up, probably Dave just grabbed her and said, let's go. Especially if dude. Yeah, God's good. We are blessed. Close friend of ours, Ray and Janine, what a blessing they've been in our lives. One of those divine hookups, a preaching machine. We know he's got a good word, and Janine's going to share a little bit this morning also. Took him out to Pioneer Cabin last night and filled them so full they didn't sleep all night. good time. Father, we thank you for what's going to take place. We thank you for Ray. Thank you for Janine. Thank you for just someone that what you see here is what you see out there. And Father, they're hard to find. We thank you that he works. Janine and Ray work just as hard out there in real life as they do right here in real life. We thank you, Lord, that real people is who you're looking for, those people that just do what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. We thank you for that. Thank you for everybody here and everybody by internet that's watching. Thank you that we're all going to be touched, and we're going to all take something out of here that's going to change and adjust our life for you. And we thank you for it, Father. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Give Ray and Janine a good grace welcome. Turn it on when you're ready.
Turn it on?
Yeah, when you're
ready. Okay. Well, a very, very good morning. Am I on?
Am I?
Yes.
It is wonderful coming here. You know, there was a season my husband used to come by himself, and then Pastor made an adjustment. He said, Ray, you can't come if you don't bring your wife. And you know what? That was the beginning of a wonderful relationship. And not only that, but you know what? Ray and I haven't been anywhere or done anything together since last year when we were here. So many times it forces us to be together, which is wonderful. But we get so busy after a summer season, we see very little of each other. So we are refreshed by our coming here, not only by being together, but by not being with you. It's like, you know, when you have a relationship, you can be gone a year and you come back and you still feel like home and you can pick it up exactly where you're at. That's what we have. I feel like I come home here and I am refreshed. I love being around your pastors. Especially when, you know, I could be around Miss Connie. I can sit there and say nothing. But you know what? I feel loved. I feel mentored. I feel challenged. My perspective in life has changed. I feel grateful. I do. You know what? all my family is in Africa, but God has seated me back family. So I am truly, truly grateful for the time I get to be with you. Oh, Miss Connie wanted me to share a little bit of what is happening in my life. I'll try not to take up all of Ray's time, but lots has been happening. You know, about 4 years ago, after doing daycare for 25 years, I would take care of children from 7 in the morning till 6 at night. It was my mission field. I poured into my heart and everything and all the fruit I poured into those children and into those families. And suddenly, one day it was gone. I woke up at 6 in the morning and there was going to be no cars pulling in and no kids downstairs. And then I would see my husband, it was a readjustment for me. And I'd see my husband going out and preaching and see such joy. He loved, he can't wait to go mission field, preach here and do his trips. Something started to turn on the inside of me. You know, you can sit in a church for a season, you can serve in a church, you can eat and eat and eat, but there comes a time you can't eat anymore. You're going to puke. Sorry. And I was at that point in my life. You know, the Bible is full of stories about time, a season to grow, plant, harvest, the vineyards, the wheat. It's simple, it's easy, but it is packed with knowledge. It goes a bit deeper than that. So I thought, here's my season. You know, if you see an apple tree, there's little in the spring, there's little tiny apples, and you try to bake an apple pie with that, that pie is not going to be very good. You're going to have to put a lot of extra sugar and stuffing and, you know, kind of camouflage it and cover it with ice cream. And not many people are going to want a pick of it, but there were, you know, yay, you baked a pie. But then at the end of the season, if you don't pick those apples, what happens to them? They're going to rot. And I knew if I didn't do something, I had an urgency inside of me. If I didn't do something, it's going to be pruning time soon. So I said, well, where do I go? What do I do? Do I go to my pastor and say, Pastor, give me a word? Go around to other people. What should I be doing? I went to the Word. Yes. Right there in the Word, you know what it says? Feed the poor, feed the hungry, clothe the poor. That's what I got. I said, okay, well, where do I start? So I went to a local soup kitchen, and I started to get involved in the kitchen. I'm not very good in the kitchen. I can follow directions. But you know what? That changed my life. If I said, okay, Lord, I'll stretch my hand out to you and do what I can with my hand, and if you'll bless the work of my hands, I'll go from there. Before I knew it, I was there 2, 3, 4 times a week, but I started having lunch with everybody. I would sit down. Hey, Janine, how are you? No teeth. You know, I was around the homeless. I was around people who were living paycheck to paycheck. But then I started to listen to their stories and get to know them as my friend. Because guess what? They don't care what I know, who I am, what I have. But as soon as they knew that I cared about them, I knew them by their name. I knew what was going on in their life, and I started to pray for them. It changed everything. There on campus, I saw a shed. And people would come and just throw bags of clothes in there. And those who were in need would go dig through it. It was just this place. I walked into the shed. It smelt. It was dirty. There were boxes of shoes, and the shoes were dirty. And I started to get an anger upon me. I said, God, these are your people. If somebody comes in here and has a need, this does not reflect you. And before I knew it, I was out of the food pantry into the clothing ministry. I didn't look for it. I hadn't anticipated it, but I started to clean out that shed. And I saw the quality of clothing that was donated. Maybe one in every 7 big bags were items I would keep or want to wear. And I started throwing away and saying, God, I got to find better stuff. I want a spirit of excellence in serving your people. So I would go to yard sales, and I would say to them, I'd go to the nice yard sales. I said, if anything you don't sell and you would consider donating, please call me. I was picking up, Ray can tell you, my car is always full. I am the bag lady. We even had to get a bigger vehicle. But I started to change that shed, and I started to change the mindset of the people that came in there. And I started seeing homeless people on the road wearing Columbia jackets and shoes, nice shoes. I'd say, there's my homeless person. Praise God. But then there became such an abundance. I said, what do I do with my abundance? We were folding them and storing them. And I said, I can't store. The Lord gives if you give it out. And this, all of that I'm receiving is going to stop if I don't start giving it away. I pretty much just helped those who were in the homeless shelter, giving them clothes as they came. But there was a need also just around us in an extreme low income. And I thought, well, I went to the lady and I said, do you mind if I once a month start putting all of our excess outside on tables and we do a free giveaway? She said, I'd love to see that happen. Well, we've been doing this for 26 this past Saturday, consecutive months. That's just over, it's 2 years. And in those 2 years, it has grown so big, I had to find another facility to fold and organize. And this past week, we now took over their basement to put all the children's clothing. And I started to what we call a high closet. I was given two beautiful rooms. They look like a boutique. Lovely clothes that if anybody had a need for a wedding, they had to go to court, they had to go to a funeral, they had to go to a dance, even the young children could come there. Job interviews. I could dress them from head to toe, and they would walk out feeling wonderful. But what I learned, when I'm there alone, it's not just about the clothes, it's about the ministry. When they know they're loved, I have felt the presence of God come on me one-on-one. I would make appointments with people, would come make an appointment. I would feel, and I feel his presence come on me. And I know before I'm done, they're not just going to have clothes. I'm going to testify, I'm going to witness, and they're going to walk out of there changed. I'm seeing younger guys coming, the age of my son. Initially, I was very intimidated, and I thought, no, they're the age of my son. I'm going to speak plain to them, you know? And as the Lord leads, I do. And they've come back to me and said, thank you. They've said, thank you. So, you know, it doesn't matter wherever you are in your season of life. Seasons come and seasons go. But when you feel an urgency to do something, just remember you need just the first seed. The tiny, doesn't matter how tiny it is. But if you're obedient with that, God takes that and he works with that. He breathes life. It's not my responsibility to make this thing big and to grow. Do you know that now, at the end of my free giveaway every month, we have so much. I supply 7 churches up in the UP with clothing. They come down now every couple months and they fill their U-Haul with items. Then the rest of the stuff I send to soup kitchens in Flint. They now take all of this and go, and they keep calling me. We can't believe the quality and how nice the stuff is that you're getting to us. And then in Saginaw, I have 2 soup kitchens there and a halfway house. When the women come out of jail, they go to this halfway house, and I am supplying them with clothing for interviews, just to get out there, to go to church in. All I said is, I'll be a funnel. I'll be your hands. So my challenge is, don't get to that part where you've got to have your apples picked and thrown away. When they're ripe, turn to the Lord and say, I'm ready, Lord. You know, don't go too soon, because then you're pushing and pulling at a ministry that would have worked. Had I tried this earlier, I don't believe I would have had the success. But not even doing this, now I've pulled in a group of women around me who are working and helping and just as excited. And even the men at the soup kitchen, when they know I'm coming in to do something, they are the ones getting up early at 7 in the morning to come and help me set up. They have something to go to. They look forward to it. And all I did is said, okay, Lord, I'll go serve at the soup kitchen.
Has it been work?
Pardon?
Has it been work?
Has it been work? It's many hours of joyful work.
Many hours.
But I love it. I don't tire of it. I get up. I keep thinking. I find little items. I've got to know people in the soup kitchen. Ah, that person, that's her style. That's his style. I'm going to save this shirt. And when you go up to someone and say, this reminds me of you, they look at me like, you thought of me? How nice. Anyway, so praise the Lord. My husband.
Amen. Good job. And she's pretty. Hallelujah. Amen. All of you are dismissed. Praise God. We're going home. Praise God. Well, we're going to preach the same message, just use different verses. Amen. So that'd be good. I don't mind the Holy Spirit sharing my message with people after me, but it's not so good when he does it before. Praise God. It's good to see everybody this morning. God bless you this morning. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, if you would, please. Chapter 1. We're going to talk about bringing forth fruit in its season. And, you know, Psalms chapter 1 is where you're going to, familiar set of verses. Janine didn't mention it, you know, it always blesses me because at that same area where they were doing the outreach, how many people a month, Janine, were they servicing before you started? Maybe 20 or so people a month, and now you're well up to 200 on one Saturday giveaway, plus the other 7. When we say UP, that's short for us for Upper Peninsula. Anything above the bridge in Michigan, if you ever look at it, the Upper Peninsula is almost like Alaska. It'll get 20 below zero. And so she had so many jackets donated that were just sitting that in storage. She said, no, let's help somebody. And she called up there, and they said, well, we'll send a van down. She said, well, you're going to need more than a van. They said, well, how many jackets do you have, lady? She said, picture the biggest garbage bag you can find, those 55-gallon drum plastic bags. She said, was it 72? Yeah, she said, I have 72 of those plastic bags full of jackets for the people up there. So they sent a large van and a trailer. Amen. And they went home giggling, amen, all the way back to the Upper Peninsula just to help people. Amen. And what I enjoy about that testimony is that wasn't there until she started. Everybody's waiting for it to be there before they start. It's not how it's going to work. You get started, it'll be there. Amen. And that's how faith works. Praise God. Psalms chapter 1 here says this, and in 1:1, we'll read this through. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you have ungodly people in your life giving you counsel, don't listen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You don't have to stretch your imagination to figure out who that is in your life, do you? Amen. Everybody can figure out who that is. Praise God. Nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. It's something first he's listening, then he's sitting in that, or walking in their path. Now he's sitting down. He's not going anywhere. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Look at this, 3. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit when? In season. He brings forth when it's time, that tree, because it continually draws on the waters of the stream of life, when it's his season, he brings forth fruit whose leaf also shall not wither. Now let's just take this thought. Let's look at some verses together with me. If you would, go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, let's look at verse 12 for just a little bit. Did you bring a Bible this morning? I always love the theme motto of this church is do the word. Amen. Always one of my favorite things. Just do the word. Amen. Look at 5 verse 12 here. It says, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through the great apostle. He says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles, or we would say the communications of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, he's not talking about milk in your cereal. Amen? He's talking about the way an infant would drink milk. He's saying, you've digressed. If I plant an acorn, you know, you see the biggest oak tree, monstrous. It wasn't that way when God found it. It was all packed in that acorn. Somebody once said an acorn or an oak tree is just a little nut who stood its ground. That's good. But you know, the truth is potential allowed to develop. God initiates everything, I don't say everything, but things in seed form. The word of God is considered a seed. The seed of your giving is considered a seed. And if you give it time, it grows. Say it grows. It doesn't stay the same. Nothing in God is supposed to stay the same. It's supposed to grow. It doesn't evolve. It matures. A young man is supposed to mature into a full-grown adult. Amen? So a young Christian is supposed to mature into a leader in the house of God. Doesn't mean everybody has to be the pastor or whatever, but you the Word of God eventually takes course in your life and you become something you weren't when you started. Can you say amen? For though by this time you ought to be I imagine if you talk to these people, they'd say, no, I am ready to be a teacher. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not ready yet. We've got to go through this again because you've digressed back. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The Holy Spirit called these people babies. I didn't call them babies. The Holy Spirit did. He said, I'm evaluating your life, and I'm looking things over, and you're not maturing now the way that I wanted you to when I started this whole process in your life. Amen? So we're contrasting about bearing forth fruit versus somebody who's not. The time came for that season in their life for them to do something. That's why I say she stole my message this morning. Hallelujah. But they didn't do anything with what they were given. Amen? Look at this here in 2 Samuel. Go with me to the book of 2 Samuel. Verse 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15, talking about bearing fruit. This is David and his mighty men. I've read this to you before. It's one of my favorite verses, but it really fits here, so we're going to study it again. Verse 15 says, and when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants went down with him. Sorry, and his servants went with him, went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Have you ever been there? Just wore out? Doesn't make you a bad person. Just means life. Amen? Eventually, if you're not careful, all of us, life will just wear you down. Amen? It takes time to refreshing, the Bible talks about. But look at this. Then Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought that he could kill David. So this giant is kind of an opportunist. He looks and he can tell David's wore out. And he doesn't back off. He attacks. Consider your enemy for just a minute. I don't know anybody this bitter, mean. Satan disobeys God, rebels, right, in heaven. He's kicked out, thrown to the earth. We find him again in Eden talking to Eve. Eve has one commandment from God. That tree, you can have everything else, that one, mine. It's like the tithe. You can have the whole rest of the paycheck, that 10%, God says, mine. And Satan walks in, you would think, after the price he has paid, after as bad as his life has gone, he would turn to Eve and he'd say, you know what, lady? Just do what he says. Don't end up like me. I've lost everything because I didn't obey him. Just do what he says. But he doesn't. He suckers her into the same thing he fell into, as if he can't stand her being blessed. He wants her to be cursed the way that he has been. Now you have to wise up to what your enemy is doing when he starts talking to you. Because he hasn't changed a bit from that day to today. Ishbi-Benob, 8:16 again, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought that he could kill David. Look at 17. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. Here's the, here's the picture. You can go on and read. There's three other accounts of David's men rising up and doing great things right there. Abishai is there. So far, he's never seen this part of the power of God. He's never killed a giant. The only person who's ever killed a giant is his, what we would call his pastor, his leader, his mentor. David is so weary, so worn out from the battle that this time it doesn't look good for him to overcome the giant. And Shai is seeing this whole picture unfold right in front of him. And all of a sudden, everything he's been taught, everything he's studied, everything he's learned from his pastor, from David, everything that he has been trained morning, noon, and night, there comes a time to use it. Instead of just talk about it. And out he steps. And when he steps out, the power of God meets that young man. And he becomes, for the first time in his life, a giant killer. And he's never done this before in his life. He's just seen other people do it. It was a dream in his heart to be able to rise up and to be like his pastor. And the time came when the enemy was roaring. And Abishai said, not today, buddy. I own today. Today's my day. This is my battlefield. Nobody touches that man. Nobody. And out he steps, and when he does, God meets him. And we begin to see the miracle-working power of God and what God will do with a life when you are wholly, absolutely turned over to Jesus Christ and how he will work with you and move with you. I'm sure when it was all over, Abishai had his own questions. The other guys probably said, how'd you do that? He said, I... You know, the greatest force in the earth isn't hate, it's love. I can be here, you can be here, and I love Janine. You'd never even know it. It's kind of like kinetic energy. It's just not being used. All of a sudden, somebody comes in here and pushes her over, love will manifest. Isn't that true? Just let somebody just touch one of your kids and watch a loving father. Everything, his nature is the same. He's still the same father, but he changes. The opportunity forces him to respond. Love is the same way in the house of God. The love for the house of God forces you to respond, to become the leader in the house of God you were destined to be, you were created to be, not to stay the same way you were when you walked in there. Why? Because the forces at hand, the evil attack of the day demands me to step up and to become something now that I've only thought about being before, a leader in the house of God. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? And Abishai became a tree that bore fruit. It wasn't just David's testimonies anymore. He took his place alongside and he became a leader in the house of God. Can you say amen? Go with me to the book of Chronicles if you would. Let's look at this again. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Give that to you, Janine. Get it out of my... using it to hold my place. I ran out of ribbons for all my verses here this morning. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 4. This is what was called the city of the Jebusites, or a guy by the name of Jabus. You know, Joshua and that whole group, they came in and they took the promised land, and it names all the different cities. But this is one of the cities they never got to or were never able to take. And David wanted this city. Verse 4, 1 Chronicles 11. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jabus, where the Jebusites were and the inhabitants of the land. So they have all of Israel secured except for this one city. But the inhabitants of Jabus said to David, "You shall not come in here. Nevertheless, David took the city of Zion." That is the city of David. What are you saying? This one city they said you can't take, he named it after himself. He calls it Jerusalem. Yeah. This is the city of David. And how did he do it? Look at this, verse 6. And David said, whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be the captain. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first, and he became the chief. In other words, David said this, you want to be chief? Show me what you got. You want to be a leader? Show me. Don't talk to me. Don't tell me. Don't make a confession. Let me see by your actions you've got what it takes to be a leader in God's house. The Bible talks about Joab. If you go and you read this in Samuel, you'll see that he climbed up through the sewers, the drain lines, the sewers, in order to sneak up in the city and to take the city. Brother, that's a man of God. Amen? Look at this. It says, and David dwelt in the stronghold, therefore, and they called it the city of David, and he built the city around it from Milo to the surrounding area of Joab repaired the rest of the city, and David went on and became great, and the Lord was with him. You know why David became great? Because his men became great. Churches are made up of great people, not just great pastors. Churches are made up of great ushers, great deacons, great church leaders, great worship leaders. Amen. Like you got here, you got great people working in the nursery, great people working in the children's church, great people cleaning up the grounds and doing the work. That's what built David into the man of God. So, well, Brother Ray, can you prove that out? Oh, I thought you'd never ask. I've been waiting to get to this verse for about 3 weeks. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verses 50 and 51. This is the story of David killing Goliath. When David killed Goliath, the Bible says that David had no sword. Is that not correct? So he took Goliath's sword and cut off his head with Goliath's sword. Isn't that correct? Can you put the verses up on the overhead? I'd like to read this together. 1 Samuel 50 and 51. I'm kind of throwing them a curve, so if they're not ready, it's on me. Is that all right? Leave it to the guest speaker to... No, we're fine. I'll just read it, Neil. It's all right. I wanted to look at it together. Here, let's read this together. 1 Samuel 50 and 51. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took the sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Here's my question. You ready? I can't tell you how many times I've read that verse. We teach that in children's church. When David got to the sword, where was it? Brad, I'm not a military man. I don't have any police experience. Carrie, you work security. If you came upon a group of men and all their primary weapons were still holstered, wouldn't you say they got caught off guard? That kid, he's not 17 years old, that kid, seeing the battle of the day and the torment of God's enemies, said, not today. Not today, you don't. And out he stepped from the crowd and he took his part as a leader in the house of God. Had to argue with his brothers, had to convince Saul, had to work his way through it. I imagine somewhere in there, Goliath chucked a sword or a shield at, a spear, a javelin. The Bible records he had them. But he never saw David coming this aggressive. He never imagined this skinny kid had this much fight in him. Somewhere in that story, God and David said, end this right now. And this kid pops up and in he comes with a stupid slingshot. You know, you've read the story so many times, it didn't even shock you. Trust me, it shocked Goliath. He never saw that kid coming. I took this and I ran it by my pastor, because if I see something, I'm like, I've never heard anybody preach this. Am I reading this right? This kid came so quick. This is a seasoned warrior. He is known as their champion. This isn't his first battle. He didn't even want to fight this kid because there's no glory in it for him. It's exactly what Dr. Barclay told me. He said it speaks to the arrogance of our enemies. They don't think the church can do it. And if you keep consulting the ungodly of whether or not we can pull this off, of course they don't believe we can do it. They've never seen this done. Pharaoh never saw the Red Sea split before. Goliath never saw a 17-year-old kid that good with a sling and a stone and the power of God that he could take his head off. Just like your enemies don't believe you can do it today, who cares what they believe? I preached a message last time I was here. I call it the power of aggression. You talk about aggressive. Yeah. This kid, brother, he comes out of nowhere. And he bears forth fruit. Because his season just came. The day to be a champion is right now. The day to take everything you've ever learned and begin to use it for the glory of God is right now. All the verses you know, all the wisdom you've gained, all the money you can sow, all the time you can put into the house of God, and to find yourself a champion. Not, you know, to find you, not somebody else, you, an overcomer. I love that song we sang today, Neil, that we will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Why? Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. The champion's champion is in me. He isn't in my enemy. He isn't in debt. Debt doesn't have a champion. I do. Poverty doesn't have a strong man. I do. The loss, the demon that blinds the eyes of man so they don't see the gospel of God, that demon that's ransacking our nation right now and blinding people's eyes, he isn't a champion. My God is a champion. He put that authority inside of me, the part of the body of Christ, to take it over in this world. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, we have a building program at our church in Midland, and it's an amount I can get. The amount God gave me is an amount I can get, but it's not an amount I have. Do you understand? I can get it, but I got to go do something. It doesn't just fall off the tree and G-Ray, here it is. It was like God said to the people with the promised land, this is yours, but you have to possess it. You can do this. I'll help you do it. This is where people misunderstand with the prosperity message. Jesus said, or the Holy Spirit in Deuteronomy said, I will give you the power to get wealth. Not the wealth, the power to go get it.
That's right.
You're skipping a step. If you want, amen. But the beauty is the blessing of the Lord, he comes upon you, and he adds no sorrow to it. But one who seeks to get rich pierces himself through with many sorrows. So there's a difference in doing it God's way or just doing it the world's way. Amen. If you do it God's way, he'll bring it to you. You stay faithful with the things of God, and they begin to unfold, and they begin to work. Can you say amen? When I see David, he's like that Psalms 1 verse. All that time he's doing and he's doing and he's doing and he's doing and he's doing. And one day he steps out and he looks and he says, my church has suffered long enough. I'm not going to sit back and just do nothing. And he steps out from behind the shadows. And when he does, the power of God hits that kid. And he becomes a king, and he becomes a ruthless conqueror. He becomes, this skinny kid becomes one that the kids begin to sing about. And he sets a pattern in the church that it doesn't matter your physical abilities. Walk with God. Friday night I talked about Peter, how he had a word for the people at the synagogue. And Peter was a fisherman. He didn't rub shoulders with the right people at the synagogue. He just walked with God. The story that Janine testified about this morning, that all the different things that's going on because of what she started, it didn't start with supply. It started with put your hand to something. All that time she's working and all that time she's doing things, God's preparing and God's using things, and there comes a time now, okay, let's go. And she bore forth fruit when the time came. My message to you this morning is step out of the shadows. Make use of all the things you've been given and all the great things you've been taught and all the wonderful opportunities. Step out now. Bear forth fruit. I don't want it to be said like they did there in Hebrews, that by this time, you know, there was an anticipated growth. There was you know what I'm talking about? There was an expectation that, amen? You know, my son has Adeline's like 4 months old now. They're 4 months old. Nobody gets upset at little Adeline if she fills her britches. At 14 years old, we're going to have a talk. Same child, but maturity is supposed to come. We have young men growing up not moving out of homes. I understand the economy isn't what it once. You know, there was a day in our city at 18 you could go down and get a good job. Work hard, promote, and you can live on that income. You didn't need college. That day is gone. So I understand there is some differences. But there still has to be a maturity among the men. There has to be a growing. A time where I can take the reins now, Dad. I can begin to make this happen. And you see the growth and you see the people excited. You see them take hold of things. And you watch the wonder of the seed as it begins to grow and take its place in the field of the Almighty God. Can you say amen? I tell you what I have on my heart this morning. If you're a leader in this house, you're a deacon, a minister, I think we'll just call it leaders because different. We talked about it in the back a little bit about, would you come here? I want to pray for you this morning. I'm asking God to put his anointing in you. I believe that this is the team that God puts together in this house to help pull the vision. Come on up, just come. You don't have to wait. Just if you're a leader in this house, you come. You know, my father was just a simple farmer. But the one thing he taught me when they would work with horses is you yoke those horses together, and then when they'll hit those reins and jerk that stuff out of your hands. You got to be, you know what I mean? You got to be braced. This is how I see the body of Christ and the helps ministry. Brad, when I talk about helps, I'm not talking about just nice people showing up. I'm talking about doers. I'm talking about accomplishers. I'm talking about, Pastor, you can give me a department. I'll make it happen. I'm talking about, I've got this. You give it to me, I'll put life in it. I'll breathe life into it. I'll organize it. I'll clean it. I'll make it happen. We won't worry for workers. We won't worry about, I'll have the instruction of God. Whatever you want, I'm submitted to you. This is your church, but I'm here to pull these reins. You decide the field. You decide how long it is, what we're planting. None of my business, couldn't care less. But man, when I hit these reins, whatever's behind me is moving. Whatever's behind me is moving. We got to yoke together. Let that power hit us. Father, thank you for the anointing now. Thank you for the anointing. The dreams of God that these have for this church. The love of God that they have for their leaders. Lord, I thank you that now comes the avenue to hit the reins. To hit the reins. Help us to see what Pastor sees. Give us an eye to see. Like that servant did that morning with the prophet. The prophet said, Lord, open his eyes to see. Open, Lord, our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that this is the beginning. Not even the fulfillment, the totality, but this is the beginning of the leadership. I see things snapping into place. I keep talking about those rains. I can hear the leather snap, pop, and the dust flying. The dust getting knocked off. The power that's hit. We're going to drive. Lord, we're going to drive the demons from this region. We're going to drive the demons from the people that attend this church. This is our city. We're the army of the Most High God. Goliath should have never messed with God's people. I won't permit it. I won't permit it. I'm going to hit the reins like a wild man. I'm going to hit the reins like a wild man. I've been trained up, raised up. I've been preached to, talked to, at times corrected, rebuked, and I'm ready to take my place in the army of the Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God. Thank you for the patience of God that Pastor Miss Connie have had. But it's time now for us to come alongside stronger than we ever have before.
Hallelujah.
And to hit this thing with power. And to hit this thing with the glory and the joy.
Hallelujah.
And the laughter and the giggle, not a drudgery, but the joy of our heart to be faithful in the house of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for faithful pillars that have stood in the house of God. Not too arrogant, not prideful, but just good, humble gospel workers. Blessed of the Most High God. Still sing their song and enjoy the move of the Spirit and faithful to be a friend to the leadership of this house. I bless them. Lord, thank you for the leadership anointing to come upon all of us now. It's time for us to start to kill some giants with their own sword. So, well, I didn't really have a sword when I started today, so I'll just use yours. Beans, nobody's using it, I'll take it. Never used one of these before, but I'll figure it out. You should have never counted me a skinny runt, Goliath, because here I come. I'm going to make an embarrassment out of you. I'm going to make an open shame out of you. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the heart of a warrior inside of my brother, that the fight still lives on inside of his heart. I want to do something for my God. I want to be an asset. I want to be a contributor to the victory of God. I bless you today in Jesus' name. Lord, bless this man. Use him in his future, in his tomorrows. Thank you for his years of faithfulness. He's helped me. He's helped build this church. He helped me, Lord, when he didn't have to. Came up to Midland, put his hand to help me to strengthen my hands. I bless him now today in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Gilambando shikile bende gishi gera namando gondo. Balambande gishi de bende golombonde gile basha kalamada. Gilambando gosh gile bende namasho probo koloboshu kolamaga lamenide. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing to lead, to be faithful. Gilambande shikile bende de namando goloboshu kile bende gere de manada mandanda. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody I didn't catch, I should have. Raise your hand to me. Got one more? The Power Twins, hallelujah. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the anointing that they have known all these years. Lord, there's a grace on them. There's a beauty on them. There's a skill and a gifting on them. Strengthen them, Lord Jesus, for these years as they come. Thank you that their bodies will be sharp, their minds will be sharp and attentive, and everything is going to work well. Lord, I take just a minute and I curse the work of their enemies against them. And I thank you, Jesus, that they're going to find a way to help build, even at this stage of their lives and ministry. They're going to continue all their days to speak, to help, to teach, and to pour into people and to build the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift your hand up, everybody. I want to just pray for you. I bless this congregation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. May we rise. May we rise to the challenge of God. Take our place. Take our place in the house of God to be pillars, givers, lovers, laying hands on the sick, and to find ourselves busy building the house of the Almighty God. Lord, you're not looking for the smartest. You're not looking for the richest. But we may be the most determined people in the body of Christ right here, that we will know the power of God. We will see the visitation of God. We will know, Lord Jesus, what it is to hear the demons shriek as you drive them out before us. And we will see the move of your Spirit in our city and the surrounding areas. The giants of our day have no idea. We are stepping out of the shadows.
Thank you, Lord.
And in Jesus' name, the victory today is ours. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Thanks for your time, everybody.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ray was talking about things tightening up and pulling together. And because I was a coal miner and ran heavy equipment, Neil made... There was times we had bulldozers so stuck that the water was running across the floorboard. And we might hook a D9 onto it, and it just sat there, just do nothing. But I can remember the time we had four D9s hooked together, and everybody pulled the cables tight. But just a minute, somebody went like that, everybody dumped the load to it, it just pops it right out. Well, that's what it takes.
Everybody working.
Yeah. Everybody working. No individual. It'd be like Neil trying to run praise and worship by himself. Impossible to get what we've got now. The quality we got now is we can compete with any of them. It's all because everybody in the praise and worship team has locked together and doing what this man said, this is the way we got to do it now. And they followed it and things are changing. Everybody blessed during praise and worship?
Yes.
It's the same with everything that's going on in the church. Back in the youth department, working together in the classrooms. God is so good. Good message, good message, good message. Good message, good message. And I was sitting there during his sermon, so I know it was the Holy Spirit. And I'm supposed to say, if you can give $100 today, God is saying do it. If you have to rewrite your check, if you've got to dig, if you don't have it, you'll send it later. I'm just, I don't do this. But I know that's what he said. And it was right in the middle of something I was wanting to listen to, and it kind of threw me. So I know it's the Holy Spirit. So if you, everybody's got it. It's just a matter of will you do it. But let's cash envelopes. Anybody needs that to give, let's give. You say, well, I'd like to give more. Please do. Ray's wanting to get out of the treetops. He's been mentoring a crew that works for him and got a young man that's a good young man out of the church that's wanting to buy it and take it over. But he won't, it's funny. He's such a man of honor, he won't release his business until the man can run it like he runs it. That said so much to me. That's an awesome thing. God's going to fix that. And I don't know if I can share this, but there's a Dow Chemical is the big, big factory up there. Did I hear this? Have they offered you? Okay. Forget it. You didn't hear it from me. But anyway, God's not done with going on. You know, it's kind of like the acorn, folks. It holds its ground. And when it's all done, then the nuts drive you crazy. There is so much fruit. And then every one of those nuts, and then the nuts drive you crazy. And then pretty soon you have a woods full of acorns that continually produce and produce. And it's easy for everybody. God is so good. You know, think about the tree. That oak tree's not going, "Ugh!" It just makes fruit. And that's what God wants us to do. Get together and follow what God's doing and watch what he does. Yeah, if you don't have a checkbook and you feel like the Holy Spirit just said, yes, I want to give, just put a little note, I will give, and then we'll send later. You say, well, Pastor, are you trying to get money on me? No, I'm telling you what God said. You do what you want. Be obedient, though. It's better for you. Let's give. Guys, come on up, and let's pass the buckets, and let's see what God's going to do and take care of the need. Had a blessed weekend. We've got to spend some time. Ray and my dad hit it off from the very beginning years ago, and we went down and spent time with Dad yesterday, and that was a good time. I called Dad, and I said, how you doing? He said, about 70%. So he wasn't full of the steam that he's normally got, but it was a good visit. When you become the age that my father is, every visit's a good visit because it may be the last visit, but a good visit, good visit. God is so good. I just keep thinking about Betty Berger. Man, going to miss that lady. Who? Yeah, well, yeah, you got like Dad, 1926, he was born, and pretty soon he's going to have a number at the end, and what's the dash took place. Has he made mistakes? I think everybody here has made some mistakes, but the dash is amazing how I will finish the work that I started. Well, I stand on that one, because I'm a mess sometimes. I said, Lord, I know you're going to fix me, but you said you'd finish it, so I thank you that you're going to finish it. God is a good God. Let's stand up. God is good. You will not be the same after today, I promise you. Hear me?
Yes.
You will not be the same. The enemy is not going to steal this word. It's going to settle in. You're going to go, okay, what's important? Seems like the body of Christ, the commitment, what's first has changed.
Yes.
And it's time for what's first. Me and Neil was talking, you know, since we got turned on and got back in where we were supposed to, it's like, well, this is what we do, and then the rest of the stuff will all make its way. I mean, church is first. That's just what we do. I mean, that's not even a thought. That's what you do. And then in what you do, then God takes care of all. Well, he says that, doesn't he? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. God is so good. So blessed you all are here, and God's going to touch your hearts, I guarantee. Father, I thank you that this word that come forth is going to settle into every heart, and I bind the enemy's attempts to try to remove it. I thank you that this is going to be deep-seated, and the acorn that was planted today is going to flourish in time. I thank you, Father, that many of us have got places in our life that we need to mature and grow up, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to help us grow and be the Christian that you want us to be. We know you're happy where we are because you know where we're going to be, but we want to get where we're going to be quicker than if we do it ourselves. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for directing our life and taking care of us. In Jesus' name, call you blessed. You are dismissed.